Julian Schreiben, how goes the battle for the congressional seat in New York's 19th district?
Well, hi, Alan. It's great to be here with you. The campaign's going really well. We're having, I'm certainly having a wonderful time traveling around this big, beautiful district, meeting with voters, hearing about their concerns, and talking to them about how we can get the economy moving again and have an upstate New York that's thriving.
Why don't you tell us a little about yourself so that we've had you on before, but just in case people haven't caught that particular congressional corner, we can learn something about you and how you've fared in life up to now.
Terrific. Thank you. I grew up in Ulster County here in the Hudson Valley and really had the opportunity to live the American dream. I'm a graduate of our public schools, Kingston High School. My dad grew up during the Depression. He didn't even have a chance to finish ninth grade. He joined the Army in 1943 and went to Europe. My mom's an immigrant. She came to this country in the late 1960s, and it was her small business that supported my family growing up. So I absolutely grew up understanding the struggles to support a family on a small business. My mom's a ballet teacher, which is wonderful. She's had a great impact on lots of young people in our community. Unfortunately, teaching ballet in rural New York isn't a path to retire early to the Caribbean. So although I was able to be the first to go to college, I did it with the help of a Pell Grant, with the help of the maximum student loans that you could borrow, with working year-round, bagging groceries when I came home in the summer, doing whatever it took to be able to go back to school and buy books. I've had the privilege of spending most of my career in public service. I was an attorney at the Central Intelligence Agency, privileged to work on a case called the United States versus Osama bin Laden, which was the prosecution of four Al-Qaeda members for bombing our embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. Became a federal prosecutor myself in Manhattan. And then when I returned home to Ulster County, my father unfortunately was ill and I wanted to be closer to family. And I became an assistant district attorney in Ulster County and saw really every issue of law enforcement and public safety that can arise in a rural community. So I've had some really wonderful opportunities. And I want to make sure that the next generation of young people who are growing up in the Hudson Valley and the Catskills continue to have those kinds of opportunities.
So why should somebody vote for you for Congress as opposed to Chris Gibson? After all, Chris has been in here a number of times. He's a nice guy. What's the difference between the two of you?
Well, certainly Congressman Gibson is a nice guy. And I think that this campaign isn't going to be one about personal negativity. The problem is that Congressman Gibson's voting record is out of step with the values of upstate New York. So folks should vote for me so that we can stop the attention to the Tea Party agenda, which is what he's been voting for in Washington, and put the focus back on our communities and our economy and jobs here. You know, the congressman ran for election the first time promising to focus on jobs. But instead, what we've seen from him when he's gone to Washington is votes for that Tea Party agenda, voting to end the guarantee of Medicare and turn it into a voucher program, ending a decades-long commitment to women's health and defund Planned Parenthood, many, many votes against a woman's right to choose. And that's not what we sent Congressman Gibson to Washington to do.
You've sort of opened the door. I'm interested in that when you mention women's rights, obviously one of the contemporary things that's going on is Congressman Aiken and his approach to, abortion. What do you make of that whole brouhaha?
You know, certainly Congressman Aiken's comments, which divide the horrific crime of rape into categories that I guess for him count and those that don't count, is absolutely deplorable. Unfortunately, I think this is one of those gaffes they talk about where a politician says what they're actually thinking. And the remarks that he made, unfortunately, were in support of actual legislation that's being pushed by the Tea Party agenda in Washington. So these, again, are not the priorities here. Congressman Gibson, unfortunately, recently voted for a bill that would criminalize abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. This is the opposite of where I am on this issue.
So when somebody walks into the voting booth, I'm, as a political scientist, terribly interested in this. In England, you may vote for the Labour or for Tories or whatever. Do you vote? How do people vote in America? Do they vote the person? And is that a mistake?
Well, I think that folks, what I have seen in terms of talking to voters here is they're going to vote about what the interests and priorities are for their community. You know, other countries may have different responsibilities for their elected representatives, but here in terms of the House of Representatives, priority number one for a congressman is to represent the interests of the communities that he or she is elected from. And so here our priorities are supporting our small businesses, supporting our farmers, making sure we're supporting our education system. And unfortunately, again, these are things that the congressman has not done. He's voted to cut lending to small businesses, voted to cut support for research funds for small businesses, while focused on that Tea Party culture war agenda. And so I think that, you know, the voters that I've spoken to are very responsive to a message of bringing the focus back to what we need to promote this region and make this region thrive.
What about running with President Obama? Is this proving to be a plus or a minus?
You know, I think we talked about this a little bit the last time I was on with you. I think that the voters are not voting for me to be, you know, a yes man for the president. They're voting to elect an independent voice in Washington. I think certainly you see a sharp contrast in the presidential election, just as you do in our race, between the president, who has laid out his agenda, and Mr. Romney, who wants to go back to the policies of the Bush administration, especially now with the selection of Paul Ryan as his running mate. That's really brought into focus the consequences of that. And again, unfortunately, Congressman Gibson embraced the Paul Ryan budget of 2011 that would end Medicare as we know it, turn it into a voucher program. So certainly those national issues are very much resonant in these communities.
You know, you've had an extraordinary education. You mentioned it before, a BA in history from Yale and, of course, Yale Law School. Those are incredible credentials. Do they actually help in a campaign?
You know, voters, I think, appropriately are not so concerned with credentials, with names, with labels. They're concerned about ensuring that you have the ability and the desire to represent them. That's the priority. That's the test. That's what it should be. In the case of Congressman Gibson, they're certainly going to look and see whether his voting record is one that reflects their values and priorities. And from what I hear from the voters, it doesn't. I hope that in the experiences I've had in my life, the opportunities I've had to come from a public school here in the Hudson Valley, get the education you've described, and work in nonpartisan public service for my career, I think that those are experiences that will enable me to serve the communities here very well and to follow their priorities as a congressman.
We've been talking to Julian Schreibman, Democratic challenger for New York's 19th District, currently held by Republican Chris Gibson. Julian, if I may call you that, thank you so much for being live in the studio with us. It means so much to us.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's really great to be here.